Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I talked about today being Pentecost and it being the season of the Holy Spirit, and we're moving into the last season of the church calendar. Sometimes we forget that the Holy Spirit is at work all the time, don't we? And as I talk to the kids, we can't always see the Holy Spirit, but we know the presence of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is there. We can feel it. I know when I go for walks in the morning and that wind just starts to whip up and you're like, okay, I'm supposed to be paying attention here. You know, there are different things that will call our attention. And at times that the presence of the Holy Spirit can be startling, like we saw with Lucia, who was not expecting that breeze to hit her in the face. The Holy Spirit is always working in us, and people share their times when they felt the Holy Spirit present in them. They know something greater than them has happened, and I get to hear these stories all the time. All the time. It's one of the joys that I do have as a pastor, is I get to hear these times. And at times when people say, I don't know what just happened, I get to point out to them, oh my gosh, that was a Pentecostal moment. That was a time when the Holy Spirit poured out into your life and something new is happening. Well, I want to share a story with you, one of those Holy Spirit moments, and I've been given permission to do this. So there are two places in life that I have found the presence of the Spirit so tangible and palpable, like palpable is what I'm saying. You can just reach out and touch it. And it's those two places where heaven and earth, that veil is lifted, and you can feel the presence of God so very strongly. And those two places that I have found it is the time in which we go back in to God. So I'll say that time that we pass from this life into the next. And that time, and that is at someone's death. And the second time is at the birth of a child. That time where God is basically handing that child over to their family. That's the going out and the coming in that we hear about in the psalm. It's not about it's the going out and leaving God to come into this world and then the coming back in to where our true home is. So one of the stories I want to share with you is a story of the birth of a child. There's a point in the cocooning, if that's what we want to call it, where the child is ready to come into this world or to go out from God's care. And just before the birthing happens, this is what I like to envision. And we hear in the Psalms that God says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. So I always like to envision that when I see a mama who is pregnant, and we have one with us here today, that God is doing that knitting together. And it's a miraculous knitting that happens, isn't it? A creation that's happening. And then it's time for that child to be born, to leave where God is present with the child, and to go out, right, and come into this world. So this story is about God being present with this little girl who was ready to be born. God, I can imagine giving last-minute instructions and then saying, okay, it's time. Now, we may call those labor pains. We may call them pushes. We can call them whatever we want. But I always think of it as God saying, okay, time to go. I want you to envision this room in which Mama is obviously present. Daddy is present in the birthing room. Grandpa is present, but at the head of the mom, so that there's a curtain, nothing else can be seen. And grandma is present, along with others, doctors, etc., in the birthing room. Now, this grandma of this newborn is an OBGYN nurse. So she knows exactly everything that's about to happen and is happening, and she can almost clock it as it's going on. Now, while that child is being born, the very first thing when a child comes out, what do you want to hear? A cry. When you hear that cry, you know that child is breathing. Yeah. And what happens is when the child is in the mother's womb, the breathing, the oxygen is getting there from the mother. The lungs have not expanded. And it's when the child comes through that all that water is squeezed out of the baby's lungs, and they then expand so the child can breathe on their own. So everyone's excited. And this little baby girl is born. And she's precious. And she's absolutely beautiful. But this little one didn't make a sound. And everyone was looking. And grandma, OBGYN nurse, she knew things were not good. And she looked at her watch and began to pray. And everyone in that room began to pray. And that little girl had her head down. And the minutes were ticking away. Come to some critical times in this child's life in which breath must enter the body. And then all of a sudden, there was a sound, a loud sound like a rushing wind that came into that room, and that little girl's head, which was down and quiet, went like this. And she took a breath. That's a Holy Spirit moment. This grandmother, and I'm sure this grandfather, will say over and over and over again, God was present. The Holy Spirit was in that room and breathed life into our granddaughter. Can you imagine what that must have been like, to be in that room, to hear that sound, and for that child to take a breath like that? That's a Holy Spirit moment, without a doubt. And this family shares that story because it's a story of new life. For the disciples, that sound of the rushing wind and that experience, I almost want to say tongues of fire came over their heads. I want to say as they took a breath in, all of a sudden coming out was something that was miraculous, being able to share the story of Jesus in languages that they were not even capable of speaking. Such a shock that was. They begin to say things that they didn't even know they were capable of saying. It's a shocking story, isn't it? When we hear it and we're curious, did that really happen? Yeah, we are curious. Did that really happen? But then we have these moments, like the story that I heard about the birth of this child, the sound of the rushing wind, and then just the sucking in of that air. It's not sucking in of air. That's the Holy Spirit rushing into that child's body and bringing her into life. The story that we hear is the same, isn't it? But we hear it differently. For the people in Jerusalem at that time, they heard the story in the language that they understood. It wasn't that they had to learn a new language to hear about Jesus. For this grandmother, who was an OBGYN nurse, where else would she experience the Holy Spirit? But in the birthing room. It's the language that she understood. It was a miracle. She immediately knew what it was, because that's the language that she speaks. So when we communicate, or when we hear God's story, we're going to hear it in the everyday, in the things that we're accustomed to. Not the same for everybody. And this is what Joel said. He said, God pours the Holy Spirit out upon all flesh. And all are called to tell the story. There's no distinction. There's no rank. There's no authority. There's no position. Notice it can be little boys, little girls, adult men, adult women. All are called to tell the story. The Holy Spirit breaks the walls of age, gender, and status. And so all are called to proclaim. All are called to receive the Holy Spirit. Each and every single one of you has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know how I know that? Because you're here today. Something prompted you to walk through the doors the very first time. And if you think it's you that prompted you to do that, I'm going to tell you it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit that called you into a place, and some of you might have said, I don't know what I'm doing here. Some of you may have read an article. Some of you may have heard from your friends. Something moved you into this place, and it is the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt in my mind. But the Holy Spirit does it gently. Or does the Holy Spirit do it gently? For example, Paul, who was one of the most vehement persecutors of Christ followers early on. I mean, he was a Jewish man to the nth degree. To the nth degree. We're going to focus on his letters over the summer. And he's off going to Damascus to go and kill more of these Jewish Christians who are proclaiming Jesus. What does Jesus do? Well, Jesus got to do something there. Knocks him off his horse. It's the Holy Spirit. Knock him right off the horse. He's blinded and he's like, whoa, because he has to be stopped in his tracks. And his experience of the Holy Spirit is very different, where he is called in a new direction. Yet, look at Moses. The Holy Spirit's working in the Old Testament. You know, there's a burning bush over there. Oh, how do we pique Moses' curiosity? If I slam him over the head, he's just going to run further and further away. So no, the Holy Spirit has this bush that's burning, and it's not consumed. And Moses is like, well, that's pretty interesting. Let me take a walk over there and see what's going on. That's Moses' Holy Spirit story. Each and every one of you have a Holy Spirit story. And it doesn't just happen once. It happens again and again and again. And if you can't see it, ask someone to point it out to you. Because that's the other thing. We have eyes to see like no one else has eyes to see. And when someone says, why? Then you can say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Let me explain to you. Read the stories in the Bible and recognize the Holy Spirit at work in that person. The Holy Spirit is present all around us. One of the most important things that we can remember is that we don't bring the Holy Spirit to people. The Holy Spirit is already there. We just need to point it out. It's not like we control the Holy Spirit. We don't. We have no control over the Holy Spirit. Just like that little newborn, just like the disciples, just like Paul, just like Moses, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the breath of new life. Feel the Holy Spirit. Feel the breath of new life. And then, most importantly, live into the Holy Spirit. Live into that breath of new life. And then, let the Holy Spirit Let that breath of new life work through you for the sake of the world. Amen. Amen.